there's only four women mentioned in the genealogy of our Savior. Tamar, who was guilty of incest. Ruth, who was a cursed, unclean Moabite woman. Bathsheba, who was an adulteress. And the fourth woman is in our text today in Hebrews 11, verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. We'll start out in Joshua chapter 2, and we'll go through and look at this account of Rahab. But in these four women, in the genealogy of our Lord, we see already how that He associates Himself with sinners, even in His genealogy. But we'll begin here in Joshua chapter 2 and verse 1. And it says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go, view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab, lodged there." Two things we see here, first of all. First, we see that Rahab was an ungodly woman living in an ungodly land. She's called the harlot Rahab. And just about every time she's mentioned in Scripture, her job title is included in her name. She's a harlot. And no pretty way to paint that. And God doesn't cover it up. He records it here in His Word on purpose. And some people would think that a pastor might not ought to bring out something like that. But we need to be told what we are in our flesh. And that's what we are in our flesh. Prostitutes. Furthermore, she wasn't a natural descendant of Abraham. She was a foreigner. She perished not with them that believed not. She lived in that cursed city of Jericho. It was cursed. It was a cursed race of people. She was an Amorite and lived there amongst them in Jericho. And they were devoted by God to utter destruction. He was going to destroy that entire race. And as far as anyone could tell, she was an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, a stranger from the covenants of promise. And here's our first point. But Rahab is just the kind of person that God saves. This is just the kind of person that God saves. God saves those who have absolutely nothing in themselves worthy of God's notice. Absolutely nothing. And but for the grace of God, all she had merited was God's holy indignation. That's all she had merited in herself. And while the world of self-righteous, pious, snooty religious folks would look down their nose on somebody like Rahab the harlot, God speaks words of everlasting love and grace to comfort her weeping heart. One of the Pharisees desired the Lord that he would eat with him on one occasion. And he went into this Pharisee's house and he sat down to meet. And Scripture says a woman came in. She came in, a woman who was from the city, which was a sinner. And she knew that the Lord was there, sitting down for a dinner in this Pharisee's house. And she came there and brought an alabaster box of ointment. Probably no telling how long she had saved to buy that box of ointment. Precious, valuable. And she comes and breaks that box of ointment on his feet. And begins to wash his feet and to dry them with the hair of her head. And there was a man sitting there named Simon. And he said within himself, he said if he knew what kind of woman this was, what manner of woman this was, he wouldn't allow her to come near him. This was a sinner. Probably just like Rahab. And the Lord said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And he said, when they had nothing to pay, He frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them would love him most? And Simon answered and said, Well, I suppose it's the one to whom he forgave the most. And the Lord said, You have answered correctly. You have answered correctly. And he said, I entered into your house, and you gave me no water for my feet. Didn't wash his feet, coming in from the hot desert sand, didn't wash his feet. Showed what he thought about the Savior. And he said, But she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. And he said, My head with oil thou didst not anoint. And he said, This woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And he said, For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And he said, Go thy way, thy faith hath saved thee. When the Pharisees saw the Lord with sinners, they would say, they mocked him and spread rumors about him, saying he eats, he socializes with publicans, low down, dirty, conniving, tax collectors and sinners like Rahab, a harlot. And he said, the person that's whole doesn't need a physician. The person that is not a sinner doesn't need a Savior. And he said, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but I came to call sinners, those that have no way of saving themselves. But we see a second thing here in Joshua chapter 2. We see the wise hand of our God directing the spies right to the door of Rahab. It says there in verse 1, And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now here's the second thing, point I want you to get. God predestinates everything in this world, from the tiny sparrow falling to the ground to some spies coming directly to the house of a harlot that he's chosen to save by his grace. Everything. Did you hear one of the nominees for president this week was on one of the talk shows, and he said that I believe that God directs everything. And he said, I'm not talking. He goes, not, of course not, who gets to be elected officials. Oh, yes, even who gets to be an elected official. He directs everything. The scripture says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And the scripture says, In whom, in Christ also, we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We would do that if we could. We'd direct everything after the counsel of our own will if we could. But God can, and he does. And he leaves nothing to chance. Now let's read on here and let's see. Now there in Hebrews, I want you to stay where you are in Joshua, but there in Hebrews it says, By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not. And it says, When she received the spies with peace. You notice there, God had already given Rahab the gift of faith when the spies came to her door. She already believed God. True faith is not a fruitless thing, but it's an active thing. It brings forth some obedience to God. That's what true fruit is obedience to God. Let's see here, verse 2, Joshua 2, verse 2. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house. For they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting up the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I don't know, she said. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. But she said, But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men of the city, the men that worked for the king of Jericho, pursued after the spies the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. This big, walled city of Jericho, they shut the gate. And it says, verse 8, And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know. She didn't say, I think, or I'm. There might be a possibility. She said, I know. That's what faith says. I know. She said, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us. If you listen to what she's saying, this, remember when we saw Moses come through the Red Sea and he sang the song after he came through the Red Sea? This is exactly what Moses sang in that song. Exact words here. And she had heard this. It had come to her somewhere, and she believed. She believed God. And it says, And that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt. What ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Wouldn't you like to come to somebody, meet somebody, out on the road like these spies were, and them tell you that? And she wasn't saved because she received the spies, but she received the spies because the Lord had given her faith and she believed Him. She trusted Him. And get that right now. What Rahab did in receiving these spies was not a work to obtain faith, but it was the fruit of faith. That's the third lesson. Good works are the fruit, the result of God's gift of faith. And where there's no fruit, there's no faith. Where there's no fruit, there's no faith. The fruit of the Spirit. This is how I can make that statement with certainty. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. All of those are in towards the same direction. All of those are toward the same one. That's the fruit of the Spirit is love for Christ, joy in Christ, peace in Christ, long-suffering for the sake of Christ. We'll see that in our message this morning. Gentleness, goodness, faith. That's the fruit of the Spirit. If the Spirit dwells in somebody, and that's the only way we're going to have faith, if the Spirit dwells there and gives faith, there's going to be some fruit that's going to evidence that what's work of the Spirit, what the Spirit has done. And that's what happened. When Rahab saw these spies, she received them. And she sent those fellows that were pursuing them and would kill them, she sent them out another direction. Now, secondly, what was the promise and object of Rahab's faith? Let's see that. Rahab's faith was based upon promise. That's what it was based upon. Joshua 2:12. She said, Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. I don't want this thing based on something flimsy. Give me a true token. And that ye will save alive my father and my mother, and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And then he answered her. The men answered her and said, "Our life for your life. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Here's the fourth point. Faith rests in God's promise. This word right here is God's promise. You start talking to somebody and they want to argue with you over the gospel. And if they get backed into a corner, they'll start saying, "Well, you don't even have all the Bible. There's parts of the Bible that you don't even have." Or they'll say, "You don't even know if that's really the Word of God. You might as well end all discussion, because this is the promise of God, and faith believes God." And if they make that statement, they're just telling you blatantly, "I don't believe a word God said." Faith rests on the promise of God. Our Lord said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they'll never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And faith says, "I believe him. I believe him." "The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet." That's God's promise. "He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." That's God's promise. "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." That's God's promise. The Lord promises, saying, "Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you." That's his promise. And faith says, "I'm content. I can do all things through God which strengthens me. The Lord's my helper. I'll not fear what man will do to me." And then we see that Rahab's faith was in the person of her Redeemer, typified by the scarlet line in the window. Look here in Joshua 2, verse 15. "Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall. And she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, Get ye out to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. The men said unto her, We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by." There's the true token. The true token. "And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head if any hand be upon thee. If anything happens to you, our life for your life," for those that stay in this house. Did the house do anything for them? This was a brothel. This was a house of prostitution. And the Lord said, "Bring them all there and have them waiting right there." And he said, "Put this scarlet line in the window." And they said, "Our life for your life if we don't deliver everybody in this house." If they're gone out of this house, though, their blood's on their own head. It's on their own head. Verse 20. "And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear." It's over. "And she said, According unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window." And she, Rahab the harlot, look down at verse 21. "She, Rahab the harlot, said, According unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and she bound that scarlet line in the window." That scarlet line pictures the gospel itself. There can't be any preaching of the gospel without the preaching of the blood of Christ, because the preaching of the blood of Christ is the gospel. That is the gospel. The preaching of the cross, that's what, when you read that, the preaching of the cross, that's the blood of Christ. That is what he accomplished at Calvary. "It's to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God and the wisdom of God." Now you listen to this. God chose a people, and promised to save them in covenant with his Son and Spirit. A covenant between the three in one. And then that people became totally ruined in sin. And God's holy character demands he must make good on his promise, or his word is worthless. The word that God the Father's word to his Son is worthless if he don't save that people that he gave to his Son. He promised them to his Son. And at the same time, the soul that sinneth, it must die. Or God's holy justice means nothing. Now, if it were possible that some man who's not God could save this people, then the creature would reserve the glory and not God. If God provides himself to die in their place, then his justice is satisfied, and him being the one who satisfied his justice receives all the glory for saving them. But God's eternal, and he's spirit, and he cannot die. And his people are flesh and blood. It cannot obtain, and they can't obtain eternal justification and eternal salvation. So what's going to happen? It's got to be some power and some wisdom. Well, how's he going to retain his glory and yet show mercy to a people who deserve only justice? If God provides his only Son, and yet his Son comes as a man, born of a virgin, spotless, holy, righteous, God and man, eternal in his Godhead, and able to obtain eternal satisfaction, one with his people, and thus able to die in their place, able to know the infirmity of their flesh, because he's walked right where they've walked, able to enter into God's presence and stand as an advocate for his people in God's presence. There, covered in flesh, dripping in blood, covered in the marks of man's depravity and hatred for holy God, is not a helpless little Jesus, but the power and wisdom of God. That's what you see in a crucified Christ, is the power and wisdom of God. We couldn't have thought it up. We could not have come up with it. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now what happened? He suffered eternal wrath for each of his chosen children, each of the chosen children of God. He died the eternal death of each chosen child of God. But when he rose from the grave, he is the resurrection of each chosen child of God. And he declares God is just and justifier to show mercy to a people that deserve nothing but wrath. Because he put out the wrath. He extinguished it. Now, if God has that power and that wisdom, does he not have the power and the wisdom to save all of his Rahabs, wherever they may be? Does he not have the power and mercy and wisdom to send his spies right into the midst of their city where they are and declare his word and his oath and his covenant and save them? Sure he does. Just like he saved everybody that we read about in this word. That's how he saves. That's why this is the preaching of the cross. This is why Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why you read in Paul's writing when he said, I was determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Here's the fifth lesson. As surely as that scarlet thread hung there between Rahab and the spies and bound them to one another in covenant mercy, so Christ's blood binds. It is the New Testament in his blood. And his blood is the scarlet thread which binds every one of his blood-bought children to him, and therefore not one will be lost. And because he bought them, let me bear this point out too. If we if we, in a defense of preaching Christ and Him crucified and wanting Christ to have all the glory, cease to declare how that God the Father elected a people unto salvation, how that God the Father predestinated a people unto the adoption of children to be conformed to the image of Christ, or if we turn around and deny the work of the Holy Spirit in creating a new nature in a man, of a man being born by the seed of God, by the Word of God, that incorruptible seed, and therefore being created in righteousness and true holiness in the inner man, which delights after the law of God. If we cease to declare God the Father or God the Holy Spirit, and we say it's in defense of Christ Jesus and Him crucified, we deny the deity of Christ. We're denying the deity of Christ because those God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. They're one. And to deny the work of God the Father or simply omit it, and to deny the work of the Holy Spirit or simply to omit His work, is not to glorify Christ at the cross. It's to deny Christ being God, is what it is. If you leave a man thinking that he can come to God himself somehow, that he can somehow this new birth is not a total new creation by God. That's as much preaching Christ. It's done through the blood and righteousness of Christ. That's as much preaching Christ as preaching what God the Father did in putting a people in Christ. Now, let me show you the sixth thing. True faith waits for the coming of our Redeemer. Rahab tied that line in the window and she waited. What do you suppose kept her going? What do you think kept her going every day while she waited? She'd come to that window and she'd look to see if that scarlet line was still in that window. And she'd see that scarlet thread. And she'd say, "All right, I'm just going to keep on waiting." Every time she saw that scarlet thread, she thought of that covenant. Every time she thought of that covenant, she thought of that deliverance. Every time she saw that scarlet thread, she thought of her God who had delivered His people through the Red Sea. And she waited, and she waited. When we go to this Word, we go to this Word to see the scarlet thread. It runs through, weaves in and out of every word on every page, all the way from front to back of this book, this scarlet thread. And when we come here to hear about the scarlet thread, because it's what keeps us going. We're coming to the window and we're looking to see that scarlet thread one more time. So we read here in Joshua, turn over to Joshua 6, verse 20. I may go a little long here on our lesson, but I don't know when I'll be with y'all again, so I'm just going to keep going. Joshua 6:20. This was when Joshua and priest went in. We saw this in a few lessons ago. Now let's read this here. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat so that the people went up into the city and every man straight before him and they took the city and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua, this trumpet blew just as the trumpet's going to blow in the last day. The people shouted with a great shout, just as the host of heaven shall shout in the last day. And the wall fell down flat, just as every man-made wall shall fall in the last day. And God's troop took the city and won the victory, just as the Lord shall do in the last day. Every vile, God-hating rebel was destroyed. Every one of them. But what about Rahab? What about Rahab? You remember where Rahab's house was in Jericho? It said back there in 2:15, it says, she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall. And she lived there in the wall. They had a wall that was built I don't know how wide the wall of Jericho was, but I know the wall in Nahum's day, that wall was over around Babylon, I believe it was 3 chariots wide. It was wide enough that down below, underneath the top of it, a person could have a house in the side of the wall. And therefore, they have a window that faced outside and a window that faced inside. And she let them down outside that window, outside of the wall. But the scripture says here, the people shouted, and it says the wall fell down flat. The wall fell down flat, except for in one place. It fell down flat except for in one place. You know where that place was? It was where Rahab and her mother and her father and all that she had brought into that house is right where they were, right where that scarlet thread was. You ever set up a bunch of dominoes around your house and click them, you know, and watch them just, the dominoes just fall? That's what I picture. When I picture that wall falling down in Jericho, I picture it going all the way around like dominoes just falling. Except when it got to where that scarlet thread was, it stopped. What stopped it? The scarlet thread. You mean just a scarlet thread stopped a big giant wall of stones from falling down? That's exactly right. A scarlet thread. Because that scarlet thread represented the blood of Christ Jesus the Lord. And God stopped it right there and said it won't go any further. They're mine. Those in that house right there are mine. I'm bound to them by that scarlet thread. Bound to them. They can't die. They can't perish. And so she was saved. Verse 22. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country. Now everything's being destroyed. They're taking the city. But he says to these two men that spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath as ye swear unto her. Just as you promised, just as he purchased, so shall the believer be delivered by our faithful Redeemer. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua, the name means Savior, saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. She believed God. And unto this day she still dwells in Israel. You know what we ought to do? We ought to get us a plane ticket and fly over there and see her. That'd be something, wouldn't it, to see Rahab after all this time in Israel? Dwelling there? I'd like to see this woman, wouldn't you, Robert? She went through this miracle. I'd like to talk to her and get her to tell me about it. That's not the Israel where she is. She dwells right now, just as alive as you think you are sitting right there, in God's Israel, in heaven with God. Right now, because she believed God. That's what he says there at the end. Because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Well, it doesn't say because she believed God. Yes, it does. It says because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. That says that's the same thing as saying she trusted Christ. She believed God. Because those that believe God are going to receive his messengers. Going to receive his spies, going to receive his brethren, and going to send them out another way, protect them, because they believe God. That's what she did. Do you believe him? Whether you be a harlot, despised by men, rejected by this world, looked down on by religion, know this. As you have trusted your eternal soul to Christ Jesus your Lord, as you have by faith bound the scarlet line in your window, like Rahab, you shall dwell in Israel with your Joshua. You know why? Because the scarlet blood of Christ Jesus the Lord, by his blood, you cannot perish. It just can't happen. You must be saved. you must be saved. All right.